that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
Well, good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We welcome you, the Remnant. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And I think we're going to have a guest here on in a few minutes, but until then, we'll welcome him on when he gets on. But we do say good morning. Hey, it's late fall, whew, and we are sure seeing it here. Snow, and Jason, I know you guys have snow there in Colorado as well.
Yep, it's snowing right now.
Yeah, it's that way here. But hey, praise the Lord. He gives his good weather in its season. We thank him for that. And so, hey, there's our guest there. Hey, good morning, Zach.
Good morning, guys. Sorry about that.
No, no problem. Thanks for joining us. We're just saying good morning. And, well, Jason, you want to open us up in prayer, and then we'll kind of go from there?
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we thank you for this opportunity to be here today, and we just ask for your blessing upon this program. Father, we pray that you lead us, guide us, and direct us, Father. Give us an extra dose of your Holy Spirit, Father. We pray, Father, for the times that we're living in, for our friends, our family, our loved ones, and we pray protection upon them, Father. And we pray a hedge of protection around them, a shield of light, a ring of fire that no evil can penetrate. We pray on that full armor of God, having done everything to stand firm. We gird our loins with the truth. We put on the breastplate of righteousness. We shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We put on the helmet of salvation, pick up the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and we pray and petition for the saints. And we pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Grant to us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever and ever. We pray that you do guide us and direct us, Father, and give us the thoughts and give us the words to speak, Father. And we pray, Father, that as we're getting more involved in the times of the deception that is out there, Father. We pray that you give us a discerning spirit, Father, that you help us to deceive right and wrong, good and evil, and aliens and terrors, Father. We pray that you just assist us in this, Father, that we come before your throne, Father. We ask, Father, that you just, that you do a work in our lives, Father, that we come before you and that we can repent of our sins, Father, turn from our wicked ways. We pray, Father, and just plead the blood of Jesus Christ over us from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet, Father. Make us as white as snow. Make us be able to stand before your throne and escape destruction to come, Father. Help us to be worthy to escape that destruction to come. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Well, Zach, how are you doing these days?
I'm doing very good. We're busy. We got lots of work. Been going to a little church, trying to do a little ministering on the side. That seems to be going pretty well. Family's healthy. Everyone's happy. I really don't have any complaints whatsoever. So the Lord's been good to me.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, in talking to many of the brethren out there, they, or I'd say a few, I won't say many, but talking to some, you know, more than three or four, several seem to have, you know, that seems to have been like a theme this year, is trying to minister to some of the local churches, some of the local groups, in, you know, each individual's area. It my guess is it's not a real quick thing. I know I've been meeting with some men just in town from a couple local churches here just on Wednesday morning with a little, you know, for a little prayer meeting and that they've been putting on and but been joining them and you know, would like to think that, hey, we're able to share some truth with them. Not that we have all truth, but certainly able to share some truth that God has given us. So it's good to it's good to hear that.
Yeah, you definitely, I would agree with you. It is a slow process. I just have to think of how long it took me to come to the realization of the truth, you know? I mean, it was a long haul for me personally. I mean, it was a 3-year study of the Bible, and, you know, I mean, it was a long haul. So, you know, you just got to get in there and take your shots when you see an opportunity, and you know that's how I feel, and that's what I do. So whenever I get an opportunity to say something, you know I do. And I'm actually going to a local Church of Christ where they believe in the baptism of remission of sins. And the reason why I started there, you know, according to Acts 2:38, when you're baptized for the remission of sins, you receive the Holy Spirit with that. And whether or not, you know, my thinking is, whether or not what kind of teaching came after that, you know, is out of my control. But I just figured, being that they did that one step, then they would be more open to other things.
Sure.
And, you know, it's actually went, I think it's going quite well, you know. I mean, they love to see me and my family walk in every day and, or every Sunday morning, and you know, I mean, it's actually quite fun. So, I mean, it's going to be a haul, you know, and we'll just let God lead however he wants it, and, you know, we'll see what happens.
Sure. And I think that's an interesting point that you make there, Zach, is that if, you know, if that is how God is leading you, then, you know, that's a good thing. That's the part of the body of Christ that you are right now, where you're at this time. You know, he may lead others along the same path. He may not, but I think that's still okay. What do you think, Jason? Is that, am I on track here?
That's the way the Holy Spirit works. Wind blows one direction for one person, another for another. I mean, that's the way God works, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes we don't understand it, but that's, you know, I mean, some people read scriptures and one person, it means one thing to it, and it means another thing to something completely different to the next person, which one is right and which one is wrong? It's that there isn't. You know, that's the living word of God. I believe that, like, you know, Zach's doing exactly what he's called and what he's supposed to be doing at this time. I know Zach shared several of the stories that he's encountered there, and I think it's interesting. And it's just, you know, how can you not get an education and learn through what he's doing? You know, and it might not be for everybody, but, you know, it's what he's supposed to be doing. And I can tell you one thing, he's learning through it, and he's educating them through it. So, you know, praise God to that. I think it's awesome.
Amen. I know it's always, I've always thought and heard, you know, in trying to, you know, just out there in the world, if you want to teach someone something, you know, if you want to teach them how to drive a car, or if you want to teach them how to rebuild an engine, or whatever it may be, you know, you have to understand it first. And you know, if you think you know something, well, try to teach it. Try to explain it to where, you know, it's one thing to know it and read it and to know it in your mind. And you may know it in your heart, mind, and soul, but to try to teach it to someone else and to share it, you know, not necessarily from a position of authority, but just to share, to be able to bring someone else, you know, to show someone else how to use a computer program, you know. It's one thing to be able to use a program. It's another thing to, you know, to show someone else so that they can understand it. And that is definitely a process, a learning process. And yeah, I agree with you, Jason. And Zach, would you, are you thinking you're learning things as well? Maybe getting a greater grasp of the gospel by doing what you're doing?
I do. I am not a patient man by any means. And, you know, my wife always tells me, as we're going through this process, you know, you're going to learn patience. And I'm like, you know, I remember Pastor Peter said one time, he's like, when you get somebody on the line, you want to give them the whole thing. You know, I mean, you got somebody interested, you just want to go. And, you know, to learn to just take and just throw out that one bit of truth that you know to be true. And you just got to set it out there. It's like fishing. You know, I'm a trout fisherman. You just got to throw that worm down there in that hole where you know that fish is, and he'll come out and bite. Sooner or later, he'll come out and bite. If he doesn't bite it straight away, just be patient. And that's one of the biggest things that I'm learning about doing all this. And another thing, I would say, being more sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is saying to me. He said to me a couple of things there, I mean, which was pretty blunt, because he had to. Because, you know, I'm a man, and I like to, you know, do things the way I think things should be done, because I'm a production type of person. I'm a results type of guy.
Sure.
And in my whole life, it's not going to happen unless my hands do it. And, you know, the Holy Spirit just told me a couple things, and okay, we're just, this boat's going to slow down a little bit. And, you know, okay, you know, and I just got to say, you're the boss, God. You know, we'll do it your way. I have to, or else, you know, it'll fold. That's my opinion.
Amen. Amen. And Zach, you know, again, remember, you're not the only one going through that. You know, I've talked with several men that are doing and kind of going through similar things. You know, I like what you said, Jason. You know, the Holy Spirit works with different people in different ways. You know, he may be, the Holy Spirit may be working with those out there that we haven't gotten to yet. You know, preparing them, getting them ready, getting their, you know, kind of like getting their garden, getting their seed bed ready for the seeds that we're going to plant. And, you know, God knows when we're going to plant them. It's a learning process. And like I said, you know, you are doing what, it sure seems to me, what the Great Commission tells us to do. you know, to go into all the world and to preach the gospel and to share the gospel with, you know, with those out there. And if they don't have it yet, they sure need it. Well, good.
Yeah, it like I said, it's truly an honor, and it's a pleasure to be doing that. So, and I find it hard to believe that God would pick a guy like me, you know, and you know. If you would have asked me 10 years ago I'd be doing something like this, I would have laughed at you. But, yeah, I mean, it's just, I love it. I really do.
Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, folks, the program is called Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And we've got our coffee, we've got our Bibles, and we'll open up the phone lines, 307-745-5913. Here we are Saturday morning, November 28th, a couple days after Thanksgiving, and hope you guys had a blessed Thanksgiving. We had all but one, almost all of our family in, and we were sure pleased about that and thankful, you know, for that, to have all the family together.
Yeah, it's a good time of year to, you know, to spend time with family and loved ones, and you know, it's a reminder too, just to, you know, how so much of the world they get together for one day out of the year, and you know, they, you know, do their best and they put on their face smiles and they try to be thankful, and you know, it's, you know, we're to be a people that are supposed to be thankful, you know, 365 days a year.
Yes.
And you know, being thankful is something that that has really become it's something that is really lost from society. You know, you used to do something for somebody or help somebody out, you know, they would say thank you. No matter what it was, whether it's, you know, helping somebody with groceries or firewood or something like that, you know, they would tell you thank you. And now it is, you know, people have got an entitlement attitude where they, you know, they expect something. They expect it's like they're special and they deserve it. And you're the one that deserves to help them. And those attitudes and spirits have gotten just prevalent in this land, all over the place. It boils back to that, just down to that. An entitlement attitude is really a communistic attitude. In a large way, it's something, you know, somebody else has something and they think because somebody else has something that they deserve to give it to a part of it to you, and you know, it's really taken a toll on just being thankful for things. I mean, you know, is what people got to realize is you know, the most important thing that we've got to be thankful for is the one that paid the price for our sins. And, you know, as we look at that, it's like, you know, this last Thanksgiving, you know, I was talking to my brother about it and, you know, telling him, you know, that really is the most important thing that we have to be thankful for, is somebody that took the blows that were due me. We know that the wager of sin is death. We are supposed to die for our sins. And until that blood sacrifice came and said, no, you know, here, put those beatings that are due Jason, put them upon my body. I'm going to take them for him. I'm going to take the blows that were due him. He took the death that was due me. And, you know, talk about a humbling, sobering thought, you know, to sit and think about that. I mean, and to me, that is number one, first and foremost, thing that we have to be thankful for is you know, he freed us of our sins, first of all, you know, which is huge. Our afflictions, that is huge. And, you know, all the diseases. Now, that's a pretty awesome gift that's been given to us. And, you know, I don't think that very many people really grasp, I mean, I know there's a lot of them out there that do, but, you know, to put it in that way, as far as being thankful, it just really puts back upon my heart that we've got a lot to be thankful for. You know, people talk about how this is bad and this is bad, and they like to sit around and talk about all their problems, things that are going on and how bad they've got it, You know, one thing that I learned a long time ago is that is no matter how bad you think you have it at a point in time or what you're going through, you don't have to look very far to find somebody that's got it a lot worse off than you do.
Amen.
And, you know, that's the truth. You know, there's times where I see people that are you know, down in the dumps feeling sorry for themselves and thinking that they don't have anything, and you can sit there and you start counting the blessings and start talking, and you don't have to look very far to find somebody that you sure wouldn't want to be in their shoes.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember somebody told me a long time ago, said, you know, if you could be around everybody and everybody piled up all their troubles and all their, you know, what they think are troubles and sorrows and problems, and everybody made a pile right next to them, and then you started looking around at everybody else's pile, you'd be taking your pile back. You know, you'd be glad to have your pile. And you're right, Jason, absolutely. We are to be thankful. You know, when and you know, men, we're men and husbands here. You know, when our wives or our children say, you know, thank you. You know, and we know that they are truly thankful for something that we've done for them. You know, that creates a certain feeling within us, you know. It you know, as opposed to, like you said, Jason, you do something and, well, it's just expected. You know, that's a different feeling. And I, you know, we're made in the image of God. And I sure think that you know, God has those feelings as well. When we are thankful to Him, you know, we have Jesus Christ as our example. And He was thankful to the Heavenly Father. For the things that the Heavenly Father put in his life, for the trials that he put before him, you know, because he knew it, the Bible says he looked for joy to the cross, because he knew what that would do for us. And so when we are thankful, again, like you said, Jason, every day of the year, thankful in all things. You know, our pastor reminded us and showed us with his life, the Bible verse, rejoice always. You know, he proved that to us. And that is a true Christian aspect that I think is overlooked by so many today. It truly is.
Yeah, it is. You know, and, you know, it's a thankful, grateful time of year, but, you know, where are people going to be at in you know, 6 months? There's gotten to be just an attitude about it, and I believe it's spiritual in, you know, a great sense of, you know, the spell casting that's going on. I mean, you see these people, I mean, you know, you look at the unemployment rates, you look at what has been done to people. And, you know, when talking to, and I've talked to several of these people in the area, unemployed this or unemployed that, and, you know, well, there's jobs all over the place, you know. There's people that are happening. There's you know, now hiring signs out, and in front of the building you'll see somebody stand there holding up a sign, yeah. You know, we'll work for food. And, you know, it's like, okay, hey, go in there. Well, the thing is they don't want to work. Well, they're not going to go in there and put burgers for whatever minimum wage is, $7, $10 an hour. You know, a lot of these places are offering, you know, paying $2 to $3 an hour over minimum wage. But they still don't want to do that because, you know, because they're special. You know, and that's their attitude. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. You know, I know there's a homeless guy down the road that I was talking to the other day, and I was telling him, and it's funny because I like to print off the help wanted ads or cut them out of the paper because there's a whole slew of them in the paper, and I just give them to him every time I see him. I'm like, well, here I'm helping you trying to find a job, and well, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. And you know, Scripture says you don't work, you don't eat. You know, we got a lot of people out there that ain't working but they're eating mighty fine, you know, and they're eating on, you know, what has been given to them in the area of benefits from the government, you know, we've got SNAP programs, we've got this program, we've got that program. I mean, it's just, it's, you know, if you look at the list of programs, it's just unbelievable. And they all think that they deserve it, and they all think that they deserve more than what they're getting. You know, and, you know, right now you can get on these programs, and you can make more money than a lot of jobs in the area being on these assisted living programs.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, to me, it's amazing. You know, I was trying to rent a house out here recently, and had this house up for rent, and the amount of Section 8 housing was just astonishing of how many people I got calls from on that they wanted, they were going to get $1,400 a month assistance. This other people were going to get $1,800 a month assistance. Some of them were down to $1,200 for assistance. And they were paying this and that. And it was just amazing to see of you know, you can tell that that's just a scheme, because, you know, they can take people and they can tell them, okay, you know, oh, you're from Denver, but we want to put you up in Wyoming. And this is what we're going to give you. This is the housing that we can, this is the assistance that we can provide for you to move here. And they can move people all around and station people wherever they want, based on where they have funding that's opened up. And, you know, it's interesting, because the way I was looking at it, it's like, you know what, they need more of these. Wyoming's still a fairly conservative state. It's got its problems, don't get me wrong.
Sure.
But it's a fairly conservative and fairly, I guess, out of all the states, it's probably very, in what you would consider, ultra-conservative as a large part. And, you know, people like their guns, they like their hunting, they like their, you know, they're outdoorsy people. They think differently in Wyoming than a lot of places. And, you know, but they're moving people from Colorado up into Wyoming. They're taking these refugees, trying to move them into Wyoming. I mean, it's you know, just talk about an attack upon our land and our people. It's, you can see it through a lot of these programs as well.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it's not only for the, you know, the people that have lived here for a while that you hear, you know, the welfare moms with nine children and, you know, that make more money than we do and things like that. But I saw some stuff in the news this week. These Syrian refugees, this one particular that came into Louisiana and got his EBT card with $500 on it, got a few hundred dollars cash. Was set up with housing and all that type stuff, and then disappears for several days. And it took him a while. You know, this is a Syrian refugee, especially right after everything that's going on internationally with the Syrian refugees. And then they tracked him down because of the use of his EBT card that had $500 on it that they gave him. Just, oh, here you go. You know, welcome to America. And they tracked it down. He's up in Washington, D.C. Well, you don't hear much about that. You know, one little blurb on the news. So, it's not only this entitlement attitude that so many of our people have gotten. And, you know, you people are writing about that. It some people are recognizing that... you know, that's a bad attitude for our people to have. But it's so prevalent, especially in the college age children or young adults. They believe that they have no responsibility and that they're owed special treatment. And, you know, it's just not so. And then in this country, when we extend that out to those that wish to do us harm as a nation, from outside of our borders, to me, it's absolute insanity. but yet we continue as a nation to do it. Zach, thoughts?
You know, I got a couple thoughts on this entitlement thing. In my opinion, this all goes back to the fathers in the homes not doing their job. And like you had your baby boomers, and they pretty much all left the family farms, the family businesses, and they went and they got their jobs in GM and stuff like that. And when they came home, they didn't have nothing to teach their children because there really wasn't that much work to do around. So they taught them nothing, you know. And I would happen to be a very lucky one, and I got to give a good shout out to my dad about this, because I got three brothers, and he worked our butts into the ground. He owned his own business, and every day after school, I was out working. And then I got a job on a dairy farm, and then I was doing what my dad told me to do, and I was milking cows in the morning and night, because he wanted to make sure I had a good work ethic in life, because we wouldn't have survived. And my dad worked us into the ground, but then on the other hand, when it came time to go do other stuff, we went and did that too, and we had fun. But, you know, these dads are, you know, they're not teaching their kids how to survive in this world. And then for the other hand, they have their WIC cards or, you know, welfare card, whatever, to survive. And it's just a recipe for disaster. And, you know, in my opinion, it's the dads not teaching their little ones how to, you know, make it in this world. And therefore, and they were given everything in the home, and now they're being given everything, you know, in their adult life. And, you know, I mean, it's, you know, outrageous what these people, not outrageous, but because they've been given anything, they don't know any better. And, you know, I mean, I think it goes back on the dads for not doing their job, you know, not teaching them, their kids, the fear of the Lord, and not teaching them a work ethic, and not teaching them their, you know, the responsibilities that they have when they get married. And, you know, that it's not them, it's their dad's not doing their job. And that's my opinion.
I agree.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, we can bust the chops of the government all we want. And true, what they're doing is not right. But, you know, we didn't have to not teach our kids. You know, us as a generation and a group of people chose not to. And, you know, it's a terrible sin. So, I mean, that's my opinion on a lot of stuff going on. I mean, it's the dads, you know. And
Well, I agree. I think that a lot of that entitlement attitude is passed on from generation to generation.
Yes.
You know, I've seen that in somewhere. It's just that attitude. Well, you know, they've got something. This is, you know, this is what I'm going to do for that. I mean, it's I'm trying to figure out a good way to explain it, but I agree with you, Zach.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and I look at I see a lot of people that I grew up with, and I find their motives extremely shallow. You know, I mean, if you don't teach your kids to fear the Lord and to work hard to get what they need to survive. I mean, the one thing, I used to listen to Dave Ramsey a lot. I don't anymore, but one of the things I do agree with him, he always used to say, go out and kill something and eat it. Drag it home and eat it. You know, in other words, get off your butt and get moving. And, you know, I mean, it shouldn't take a guy like him to say that for somebody to realize that. That should have been instilled, you know, when you were 8, 9, 10 years old, you know, that's when the process starts, in my opinion. And I just, it's sad, really, you know. I mean, it goes back on the people not following God and teaching their kids. I mean, it really does.
It does. It does. And, you know, it gives new light to the meaning of, you know, when God says, hey, I'll visit the iniquities of the fathers on the third and fourth generation. And so you think about that. You get a man maybe that comes home from war. He doesn't teach his children. So, you know, they grow up in that baby boomer generation not knowing the fear of the Lord. Well, then they get married and have children. Well, then their children are brought up without God in the house. You know, it's keeping up with the Joneses and, now you got to go to school. You got to get that college degree. Well, I need debt forgiveness. You know, you got to pay for my college. Yeah, we'll do that. Mm-hmm. And either, you know, mom and dad pay for the college. Well, now their children are going to school now. And certainly they're paying for their children's school, if the government's not doing it. And, you know, it's this vicious circle that, yeah, now we're three or four generations into this at least, where the fathers have forgotten the law of God and God forgets the children. You know, I think that's Hosea 4:6. And, you know, now certainly I think that's where we are as a nation. Now, you know, we can come out of that when we return to Him. But I think as a nation, Zach, you hit it. I think you hit it right on the head. It is. You know, we have responsibilities today, as husbands, as fathers, as men in this nation. So many out there just don't know. You know, because it's that third or fourth generation. We're three or four generations deep into this lack of responsibility, into this not being taught from an early age. And now our enemy knows it very well, and they know, and they've done all they can to continue along these lines. You know, to make sure that our people. That the Bible is taken out of the school and prayers taken out of the school and the people anymore that even exhibit any type of Christian behavior are for the most part shunted out of the workforce. Definitely a discrimination going on. But irregardless, we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to teach our children. To the ability that we can, about God, about the fear of the Lord, that principle that I think you mentioned to Jason. Hey, if you don't work, you don't eat. And that is so lacking in the land today.
Another thing I'm going to add, being that we're on this topic, and I'm not tooting my horn by any means, but I don't want to shelter my children because I don't want them to get out in the world and be like, oh my gosh, it's not anything like it was at home. You know, when you start teaching them children at a young age to fear the Lord, to pray, to do their chores, and that type of thing, and set that course. And, you know, my wife stays at home, she teaches her kids, she prays with them every day, then you will see other people, like if they're at the grocery store, for example, will come up and they will take notice of your children. Or if you're sitting at a restaurant, a couple weeks ago we didn't have any power at our house from a storm, so we were sitting at a restaurant and this guy came up and he was looking at our kids. He's like, your kids are, you know, They're bright-eyed, and, you know, I mean, they were dressed well, you know, because my wife takes good care of them. And he was complimenting on their kids, or on our kids. And then another week or so ago, they were helping their aunt and uncle and their grandfather move cattle. And I think they were having trouble. I'm probably butchering the story. But they prayed about the cattle to be loaded on the trailer. And then the aunt and uncle prayed as well. So you don't know with the way you're raising your children, and when they get out with people that are in your circle that they trust, that you know don't believe properly, you don't know what effect that you're having, and it's just like a ripple effect. And it's a wonderful thing to watch. when people take notice of your kids, and the next thing you know, your kid led their aunt and uncle to start praying to God about, it doesn't matter how big or small, to pray about a situation. You know it's working. And then that, it was great. You know, I mean, that's just, so it's not for nothing. It will work, you know. And then, it's just, like I said, it'll be a ripple effect. That's my opinion.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Good point. Good point.
So,
well, folks, we'll open up the phone lines, 307-745-5913, this Saturday after Thanksgiving, November 28th, 2015. Down to just, less than a month away from the start of December. Remember, December, I'd have to look at it here, 17th or 18th. We have a 91st day coming up. I think it's the 17th through the 18th. Begins at the 17th at noon. And that's the Sabbath between the seasons is basically what the basically what those 91st days are. But I think it's a good reminder of us to, again, be thankful. Be thankful that we have a God that did set the seasons up. And that but we'll be moving from fall into winter. And boy, I can tell you, it looks like we've moved into winter today if you look outside.
Yeah.
The snow is sure coming down in the single digits, but that's how it is.
Yeah, going to the news, it's interesting. You know, as you look yesterday here in Colorado, we got I don't know if anybody heard about the Planned Parenthood shooting, but from what I have gathered and from looking at this thing, boy, we've got another false flag, smoke and mirrors situation here. No, I maintain that this last 2016 is going to be the year that the last year of abomination in office, and I think it's going to be the year that they really push their gun control agenda to the hilt. I think that I think they're going to try it from what I've seen. But you know, here's another situation where you get a guy that goes in, and for those that don't know the story, gunmen went into the Planned Parenthood and started shooting people. At first, early this morning, they said that nobody had died. They took 11 people that had been wounded to the hospital. Three of them have passed away since that point in time. They said he was shooting to wound them, but basically went in there and started killing people. They had a 5.5-6 hour standoff. And finally came out of the place, but you know, it smells like a rat. Everything that you look at from the coverage that was taking place yesterday, you know, their live coverage, just nothing seemed right about it. You can tell that there's a lot more behind the scenes that hasn't been seen, it hasn't been told. Not exactly sure about what that is at this point in time, but Lord willing, we'll be able to figure it out. You know, but as you see things like that, it's like, you know, we're right there. We're seeing things like that on. It's just become far too common.
Yes.
And you know, it's just an ever reminder to, you know, draw closer to your God. You know, to be there, to have that relationship on an everyday basis. You know, as we see these. You know, from that, I mean, you look at the headlines and how the headlines has changed. I mean, you know, the I pulled the Drudge Report up first thing this morning, and you know, the first column talks about the standoff at Planned Parenthood. The second one was a man killed a Waffle House employee who asked him to put out a cigarette. And then the third one was on about the rise in bestiality. You know, and that was the first column. I mean, you know, and as you go down that, it tells you what state we're in as the world goes. And it's stuff like this would have been, you know, even 3 years ago, something that would have been out of the ordinary. But now it's become common.
Commonplace.
And what's that?
It's become commonplace. Yeah, it's
yeah,
insanity.
Exactly. you know, and we talk about these immigrants and this this war against immigration. I mean, you know, and you know, we've been tooting our horn calling it a, you know, invasion, which is exactly what it is. But if you look at this, you know, this new, all these Cubans that have been coming over, not through Florida now, but through Texas. You know, they had a what was it, an 88% increase this year on Cubans that came across the Texas border. There was at least 44,000 Cubans that reached the southern U.S. border during the fiscal year this year alone. I mean, that's 44,000 of them coming in through Texas. That's not including the ones that came in through Florida or any other place or any other, you know, however they got there. But that was 44,000 that they know of and that they're reporting on that have come across the Texas border. You know, that's double the number that they knew about last year. And from what I understand, you know, the way that they come up with these numbers is they catch a certain amount of them and they let a certain amount of them in, but there's all those that didn't come in legally, so they really have no clue. And if you start looking at, you know, how are they coming up with these numbers to figure out how many are coming across, they haven't got a clue. They always go with the lowest number that they possibly can. And, you know, if they're saying 44,000, it could be double that very easily.
Yeah. Yeah, it could. Well, Jason, we got a phone call. Let's see the caller. Thanks for holding. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, man. It's Joe.
Good morning, Joe.
Morning, Joe.
Good morning.
Yeah, I hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving celebration and stuff like that. The radio check. I emailed Jason a couple times, sent in the reception report and stuff, and out here on the East Coast, anyways, the radio signal blanks out quite often during the day, even at night, for a minute, possibly even a minute and a half or more, and then it comes back on again, goes off, comes back on. I just wanted to let you know on that score.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Joe.
Yeah, but anyway, did you know that there was a second Thanksgiving proclaimed in 1637 by the Massachusetts Court of Commons, I guess they call it? I've been reading a book, a very good book. If anybody can find this out there online, I encourage them to buy it. It's a hardcover. New England Frontier, Puritans and Indians.
What is it again?
New England Frontier, Puritans and Indians. And then it's 1620 to 1675. That's the whole title. And it's an old book. It was printed, I guess, 1965. That's the only edition, I guess. The author's name is Alden T. Vaughan. V-A-U-G-H-A-N. And it says that, well, first going back to the pilgrims and the Indians having amicable relationships, pretty much up until 1637 or so. And there was a tribe called the Pequots. And they were causing trouble amongst their neighbors, Indians and whites. And war broke out. And against overwhelming odds, the pilgrims quashed them, pretty much exterminated them. Yeah, they just wouldn't stop fighting. They were, and the surrounding Indian tribes were giving them a hand. They were actively involved in the fighting. They were giving,
that was
they
part
were
of that Pequot
pilgrims,
War, wasn't it?
There was they were giving the pilgrims intelligence, trying to mediate through the Indians, giving service as interpreters and guides. And so, at the end of the hostilities, or pretty close to it, when they pretty much knew that they were victorious, they sent back report to the Massachusetts, like a government there at Massachusetts Bay, I guess, And the elders proclaimed a day of Thanksgiving on June 15th.
Oh.
That's pretty interesting, I thought.
I think
wonder how many more Thanksgivings they proclaimed that we don't know about.
Yeah. Well, it's what our people do, you know.
Yeah.
When they are close to God, when they realize that God delivers them from the hands of those that hate them, that he saved them, that he saves us, and he still does today, not only from our sins, but also from our sicknesses, and not only from our sins and our sicknesses, but saves us in the here and now from, you know, whether it is marauding Indians or an invading force or an ungodly government. They understood then and were thankful to God for saving them and their families, their wives and their children, and that's part of our culture to do that, to proclaim a fast, to call a solemn assembly, to take a day off from everything, from work, from play, from everything, and, you know, have a feast and thank God. It is part of our culture. Unfortunately, we've gotten away from it. You know, when you read through, we've had a Bible reading plan out this year, and when you read through the Old Testament, you know, it is difficult for some people, but you read about so many feasts and Sabbaths, and you know, and do you wonder why? Well, God loves his children. He wants to give, you know, God's calendar. You get a week feast every quarter. You get a couple other week feasts in there. You get a Sabbath every, you know, change of the seasons. In addition to every 7 days, you know, that's his yoke. And, you know, it sure seems a whole lot more desirable than the system we're under today. So, well, Joe, thanks for the call. We've got a few more minutes here. We'll wrap things up.
All right.
Have a blessed weekend. Thank you. 307-745-5913. Got a couple minutes here left here. Zach? Thoughts? Comments?
Well, I was just sitting here thinking about what he said about that extra proclaimed Thanksgiving. And, you know, when we're in... When we're lined up with God and we, you know, when we are at where we're supposed to be as a people, you know, the yoke really is light. There is light. And, you know, I was sitting there listening to this guy a few weeks ago, and he was talking about, you know, we only need faith and, you know, and God's laws and this and that. And, you know, if you read through it, God's laws, there's really not that many, but it actually blows my mind at how well they know the laws and the just your average guy knows all the laws, the tax code, building permits. I mean, then the list goes on and on. How well they know that, but they don't really pay attention to God's law, you know. And they and then his argument was, you know, the old covenant is not now, but what's the word I'm looking for? It's obsolete, you know. We had Jesus Christ. We have his death, burial, and resurrection, you know. What more grace can a guy want, you know? And, you know, we, like Jason said earlier, you know, that's a lot to be thankful for just in itself, let alone everything else that comes with it. And, you know, and I am guilty of not being as thankful as I should, because I get all stressed out about stuff going on in this world and or the things that I have to deal with. And, man, I got it pretty easy. So that, I guess that's,
yeah.
Those are just, that's what I was thinking about here as I was listening to, you know, them guys are all fighting Indian, you know, and you know, that's a big problem. That's a huge problem.
Yeah.
You can stare at it right in the face because it's looking back at you physically,
yeah.
You know. I mean, but, and God delivered them. And, you know, I mean, it's a wonderful thing to be on God's side. It really is.
Amen.
Those are my closing thoughts, I think. I'm not exactly sure how much more time we have.
Oh, just a couple minutes. Jason?
Oh, I'm not really. I think that about sums it up. I mean, I was thinking the same thing that Zach said. It's like, you know, we think we've got it so tough when we go and fire our chainsaws and we have to go cut firewood. And, I mean, you know, just to think about those settlers sitting there having to cut everything with an axe and a handsaw. I mean, they were busy most of the winter. You know, they think of, well, there's nothing that they could do. You know, and a lot of these movies portray it that, oh, the winter was the time off. You know, they did some hunting and did some trapping. Every day they had to cut firewood, you know, just to stay warm.
Stay
and a lot
alive.
Of the times, you know, they would cut firewood from, you know, daylight until dawn, you know, every single day just to stay warm. And it's like, yeah, we've got a lot to be thankful for.
Amen. Amen. Well, Remnant, we thank you for joining us this Saturday morning. You may hear this program again on over the weekend as well as on Monday evening. And we hope it's a blessing to you whenever you hear it. We want to invite you to come to church with us tomorrow. And you can do that without leaving your home. You can join us at 10 o'clock in the morning on Sunday morning, 10 o'clock Mountain Time, 11 o'clock Central, and noon on the East Coast. And you can join us at church. Come to church with us by going on your computer to our website, scripturesforamerica.org. In the upper left-hand portion right there on the home page, you can click on the live video stream, and it'll let you watch it on your smartphone, on your computer, flash player, media player, what, you know, just about any way you can imagine. We've tried to make it as simple as possible, but we do invite you to join us. We'll have a scriptural insight or a review of the news, and we'll have a welcome. We'll have a communion service. You know, it's important that we partake of communion. And you do it with like-minded believers. And you can do that with us tomorrow morning at church. And we'll have some Holy Spirit-inspired music. We can sing praises to our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then a Holy Spirit scripture-filled message that we need to hear. It's just as simple as that. And you can do that coming to scripturesforamerica.org. Well, guys, again, thanks for joining us. And folks, if you want to write to us, our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. See you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, rolling, rolling. Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and pray together, make 'em health and forever. Knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move 'em out, head 'em off, head 'em off. Move 'em out, head 'em off, stay high.
Ride 'em out, ride 'em more, ride 'em more, ride 'em out. Ride 'em out, ride 'em more,
stay high.
Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake high. My heart's calculating.
Our King will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move 'em out, head 'em off, move 'em out.